Hey, Jerry. All right,
let's
open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this time that we could spend in the Word. We just pray that you make it a fruitful time. Teach us, O God, by your Holy Scriptures. We ask this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 As usual, during the winter, I will be wearing my hat. All right, homework. So last week, the lesson was pretty hard, and the homework was surely confusing.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Who managed to do it? It's okay to say if you did not.
I did not.
I did not.
All right, because we will also be doing it together.
I tried.
Yeah. This was difficult.
You tried to trick us.
Yes, I did try to trick you. That is true.
There's a little bit of everything in there.
Yes, very good.
Exactly.
Very good. All right, so last week I said we went through and we did an overview of the different type of the literature, types of writing, and we talked about the term genre. We didn't really say it, but that's what it is, genre. It's just a type of writing. We talked about poetry. We talked about narrative. We talked about letters. There's a lot of different types of literature, and the Bible has a lot of them. And then we talked about trying to figure out what John 1 is. John 1, and we only were focusing on verses 1 to 18. Last week I also said to use all the tools that we have accumulated so far, to use everything that we've been using so far. So that means that if you wanted to use who, where, when, all that stuff, use it. If you would look at patterns, use it. If you want to see what repeats, use it. If you want to try to see what's the structure, use it. If you want to see comparing comparisons, use it. So what we'll do this morning then, for the first 35 minutes or so, let's do this together then. Let's do this together because this is difficult. But this is an actual, what's nice about this is that it is hard. And let's not work for the meat that perishes, but the meat that endures until eternal life. So let's work hard for it. Now, this was a sweaty job, so let's get busy on it. Did anyone notice things that repeat in this passage?
Yes, the word light is used 3 times.
All right, so let's put down some, let's put repetition, things that repeat. All right, so light. Are there any variations of light in the passage? For example,
he's called the light of men.
Yes, of men.
The true world. Light
of the world. The true light. Yes. What else does it say about light?
Well, in 5 it says, "And the light shines in the darkness."
Shines.
It's
yes.
Not capital.
Yes.
Or everywhere else it is.
What else did it say? Anything else about light?
It's testified. Yeah,
No, that's hold on to testify.
Darkness cannot comprehend it.
Darkness didn't comprehend it. Yep. Putting a do not and then a do not sign. I mean, we also saw. Look at verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His
glory."
Isn't that a light thing as well?
Mm-hmm.
Light shining. So
picture
we just
picture it in your mind.
Yeah. Glory. So there was a lot of that. Any other light things in the passage? All right. So, any other repetitions? Were there any other repetitions?
Flesh.
All right. So, what were the repetitions? All right.
I 13. I might have missed that one.
Which one?
No, because 13 it says will of the flesh, and then 14
word,
word became flesh.
I meant word.
So, should we invert this one? Is it flesh or is it word?
Word.
Let's go with word as the primary. Word, the word became flesh. All right. Any other comments on the word?
Lived with us, dwelt among us.
Lived with us?
Was God?
Yeah.
Yeah. The prefix, the word was used to, well, say it was Jesus Christ. At least that's the way I see it.
It took a while to get there.
Suggest it was eternal, but because of the word beginning, but I don't know, that's an
influence. And he was God, of course.
Eternal. How about also with God?
Right, verse 2, yeah.
Anything else about the word?
The word was God.
Yeah, the word was God.
Through him all things were made.
All things were made, yes.
And he's the only begotten of the Father, 14.
Does it say that with the addition of word?
You have in the beginning.
Full of grace and truth.
And the word became flesh and dwelt, and yes, you have it in connection with as the only begotten of the Father. Mm-hmm. Great, full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. So these are things that are repeating. So it's concepts that are repeating throughout the text, right? So light is being repeated. Word is being repeated. All right. Is there any other repetitions?
Witness,
yes. So that was, Ron had said it before. He was saying testify. So let's go through the ones that say witness and testify. So what was...
Verse 7 says, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
Yeah. Anything else?
What about the word he? I mean, that seems like a simple word, but, you know,
right.
there's a lot there. You know,
There's. I'm not going to write them all because there's a lot of he.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But he's in the beginning.
And there's also a contrast, too.
Keep going.
A contrast between John and the Lord.
Contrast. John. Lord. What was the difference? What the similarity?
John was a man sent from God. Lord was God.
The light of men.
John the Baptist was not the true light, but the Lord was the true light.
John was sent to bear witness of the light.
This is good stuff.
In this, while I'm reading it, I'm seeing that God does things for men. And it repeats in here.
All right. So so that was trying to get some big ideas. So God does things for men, right?
Yes.
So there's a God's person who does things for men. And then... it's good that we're jumping around to the different sections because this is all part of this examining the passage of trying to figure out what type of literature it is. Did you notice, did anybody try to map it out? Like doing the who, the where? We did all that stuff last week. So who is mentioned in the passage?
He. God.
God.
Word. Him.
Word.
The Word.
Word. Light.
John.
John. Witness. Light.
All. Who?
All. Or every man.
Moses.
And
I put the world times three.
The world. The world.
Three.
You know, let's also put that under.
You have verse 10. I had notes from previously, but said he was in the world, the physical world.
Yeah.
And the human world was made through him, and the unsaved world did not know him.
So this sounds like world is being used differently.
Mm-hmm.
So different uses, maybe? Different uses? What were you saying, Jerry?
His own,
thank you. All right, so those are all the who's. Now, when did this occur? So let's go through the passage. When does it occur?
At the beginning.
It starts off in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Whatever that means. And then it winds up going until when? Into time, right? He was sent into the world. We see the incarnation, and then we see John sent as a witness. So it starts from the very beginning, and it goes through time, right? Up until now. So that's the when. So where? How about the where? Some of the where's. If we're allowed, how about in the beginning?
In the world.
As a where. He made the world. He came into the world, right? Mm-hmm. All right. So that's a where. Any other where's in the passage? Where?
Darkness.
Darkness, yes.
Light in darkness.
So he's shown in the darkness. What?
Among us.
Among us, right? So first it was out there, and then it's in here, right nearby, right? Mm-hmm. So that's some of the where. It goes from out there to here. And we also saw where he comes unto his own, right? So that's wherever his own is. Who would be his own?
Jews.
Right? So that's...
Hebrews.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so that's some of the where. Now, what would be some of the problems that are mentioned in the text? I'm not writing all this down because this is all part of our examination.
He came unto his own, and his own knew him not.
They didn't know him, right? So they didn't know him. That's a problem.
Or accept him.
What was an earlier problem in the
darkness.
Text? Darkness, right? What was the problem with the darkness?
They couldn't comprehend the light.
Couldn't comprehend the light. So we have it. Couldn't comprehend the light. His own didn't receive him. What was another problem in the text?
Nothing was made without him. That was all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made.
All right. So is that a problem?
No, not a problem,
a statement.
But yeah.
Yeah. So I'll put this down that God created.
Right.
All things. Any other problems in the text?
The light needs a witness.
The light needed a witness?
The leaders had a lot of questions.
Did it say that from 1 to 18?
No.
It's okay to say yes if you're standing.
No, how about verse 15? Like if John was spewing this out, people would be like, "What are you talking about?" Where it says, "John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'"
Yes. So he is bearing witness.
Huh?
So he's bearing witness. Yes.
Right. And if he was saying that out into the public, they would be like, "What's this guy talking mm-hmm. about?"
And we do see that in verse 19, right?
Right.
So within our section, we see that this is the bearing witness part. So this is one of the, possibly one of the problems, like I think one of you had mentioned it, that the light needed witness
right.
beforehand. How about the problem of the law? Do you see any problem with the law?
Well, I see the contrast between the law with Moses and great grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
All right, let's so take a look closer look at what it says there. So let's look at that verse there. Verse 17, the law, well, first let's start off at 16. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Is this a contrast? Is this a comparison? Or is this a progression?
Change.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like he's talking negatively about the law, right? Like how Paul would say he would put the law versus grace against each other. But here, John says, we have grace upon grace, we have fullness revealed, we have John, then we have the light, and here we have the law, and then you have Jesus Christ. So he doesn't sound like he's putting them against each other. He's saying, it sounds like, the law came, you had grace and truth, but then the fullness came. You had Jesus Christ.
I see a lot of parabolic stuff in this.
There's a lot of parabolic stuff.
You know, it's huge through, repeated even in verse 1.
I thought parabolics were lights.
What does parabolic mean?
Well, you talk about a parable, it's a short story.
Sure.
It takes an earthly, well-known earthly principle to illustrate a greater spiritual reality. Now, just with Moses and the Lord in this verse 16 and 18, we see that. We see that. And actually, a proverb is said to be a short parable.
Yeah.
It's a one-liner.
Yeah.
Train up a child. Everybody knows that. The result is he will not depart from them.
Yeah.
Parabolic essential is an arc.
Yeah. Do we see any hyperbolic? That means that any exaggeration in this text?
Hyperbole.
Yeah. Is there any? Now, exaggeration isn't a bad thing.
No.
Marty does it all the time. Oh, right, that makes it bad. But it's not a bad thing. Like we could say, for example, it's brick cold outside. What do we mean by that? I mean, you've probably never heard the term.
No.
We use it in the hood all the time. But when we say brick cold, you automatically get the picture. It's so cold that something is as hard as a brick. What's as hard as a brick? Probably your fingers. Definitely water. But it's brick cold. And, I mean, also we have it's raining cats and dogs, right? That's all hyperbolic. Do we see any language like that in the text? Any high language? Any really colorful language? You could go back to some of the stuff that you've already mentioned. We mentioned that there were different uses of the word,
so dark,
world.
The dark could be penetrated.
Yeah. So, I mean, world, right?
Yeah.
So here's a world, right? So let's look at some of those, right? We have the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, right? Here's this language of darkness. What is it talking about? Is it talking about actual darkness? Spiritual darkness? But the spiritual darkness not comprehended? Does the light shine in the spiritual darkness?
Yes, it can.
It does. It can, but is this what he's saying? The light is shining in the spiritual darkness? Let's follow the progression of thought here. It says that he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. Apart him, nothing came into being that has been into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This is sweat time right now.
Well, it's not specifically say spiritual darkness.
It doesn't say it.
But it implications.
So there's some implication here.
Right.
And how are you seeing that implication, Jerry? Help us out.
Okay.
Sweat time.
He was the true light.
All right.
Okay. And it is shining. And it says that the light shineth in the darkness. Use the dark in the darkness because he's shining in the darkness. The implication is that the darkness was something that could not be, that the light could not light.
So it's not shining on, it's shining within?
Within.
How about the line in verse 4? So I can mean, it starts off in verse 1 and 2 about creation, right? 1, 2, and 3 is all about creation, right? Nothing
right.
That exists hasn't been come into being without him doing it. And then verse 4, it says this weird line, in him was life, and the life, so that's the life that's in him, was the light of men.
It's parabolic again.
It is, right? And it's this elevated high language, right? So what light is it talking? And isn't it weird that he uses the term life and light and saying something comparative about them? That's strange, right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We sweating?
No.
Cold
now. It's brick cold, right? All right, so now what was... So we mentioned some of the problems. So what were some of the means? So some of the solutions that God comes up with, or some of the solutions in the text. The problem was that his own didn't receive him. The problem is that people needed witness. The problem was that the darkness didn't understand the light. So what happened? What was the answers? What was the fix to that? So normally we go and look at the miracle, right? The sign that was performed. But here we're going to jump instead to the sign performed to what was done. So what was done?
The word became flesh. Right?
The word became flesh, right? And what else was done?
His glory was shown forth.
His glory was shown forth. And let's take a step back before... John came to testify. So God is sending witness. But what else was involved, though? I think we could get some implication here, too.
He was in the world. He
was among us, okay?
Yes, he was among us, yes.
He came unto the people that were called.
Well, it doesn't say that, so what does it say?
Well, it says he came unto his own.
And they what?
They received him not.
So that was a problem, but what was the solution?
But as many as received him.
As many as received him, yes. What did he do then?
He gave them the power to become sons of God, even to those who believed on his name.
Exactly. So
that's something he does for man.
Yes. So that's an incredible solution, though, right? Yes. So now what's another thing that was sent, too? What was another solution that God sent in this text? Go further down, verse 17. When we see about Moses and the law. So God is also sending witnesses through time, right? All right. Now take a hold all that. Those are all things that were solutions. Now, what were the results of this stuff? What were some of the results?
Grace.
Truth. Upon grace.
Truth.
We've received of the
fullness,
right? So we got the full package. And this incredible thing, again, when we go back to the results, he gave the right to become children of God. That's pretty impressive, right?
He also reveals the Father through Christ.
Yes, this is an important thing here, right? Look, go back to verse 3, or 4 rather. The darkness doesn't comprehend the light, right? The darkness doesn't comprehend the light. And we saw there was another problem further down. No one has seen God at any time. But then the Son did what?
He showed the Father himself.
Yes, he explained him. What does it say in the King James?
Declared him.
And that word is the word, I mean, you probably heard it a million times, is the word for exegesis. That means translate. That means make understandable. That means give the meaning. So no one's seen God at any time. Jesus declared, explained, interpreted him. And that was a solution, right? All right, so let's also see some of structural stuff. Structural things. Let's go through the text. Verse 1 and 2, right? 1 and 2, he's in the beginning, right? The Word was with God and was God, right? And let's hop down, just for giggles, let's hop down to verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. But wait a second. No one has seen God, right? In verse 1, though, it says something important about how this one was God. And it's not as a past tense, but it's saying he is with God, right? So then this one has seen God, right? He is seeing God. And then at the end, it says no one has seen God, and the Son, he's explained him. So here we are in the beginning of these verses, and at the end, saying, well, you know, here's one who's actually seen him, right? Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting, because if you look at the passage again, John hops around a little bit, right? Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, this is he of who... And then it goes, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Do you see a little bit jumping around since before that, before verse 14, it was talking about we receiving him already, about people receiving him? Here comes God. We see him. He came unto his own. And then it talks about the Word became flesh after John was already talking about him coming to his own.
Like
he's jumping back. That's a little strange, too.
There's incredible connectivity.
Exactly, right? So we see a lot of connection. I mean, I bet if you sat down and started drawing lines, you could probably like take verse 12 and see a line the same way that connects, that sort of does. Let's just look at it. Look at verse 12. So, it says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Why is it repeating the idea of receiving? In the first part of the verse, 12, it says, as many as received him. What does that mean?
Believe.
To believe. And then at the end of the verse, it says, even to those who believe in his name. And in the middle, you have this thing, he gave the right to become children of God. Isn't that weird that John is doing that? It's great. Let's take a moment there and stop, because sometimes when we're sweating with the text, it gets too caught up in the details and stop and step back and go, isn't this text awesome? Like, you're looking at it and you're squeezing it and you're seeing all this connection. You're going, man, this is hard, but this is pretty awesome, because this guy, John, he's an inspired writer, and he is going and pouring in this detail in the text. Let's get crazy, too. Step back from John chapter 1 for a second, and let's go back to this here, right? Look throughout. Remember, you read the whole book of John already. You've read it all several times, right? Does light show up in the book of John?
Yeah.
A lot, right? Does the word show up in the book of John?
Yeah.
Does the deity of Christ show up in the book of John? Does witness show up in the book of John?
Yeah.
Does the law show up in the book of John?
Yes.
How many times did Jesus says, Moses bore witness of me. You search the scriptures, they speak of me. How many times does that come up?
Several times.
Does the world show up again in the book of John? Isn't that wild? Like, all this stuff, it's almost like you... So I'm still in the part of enjoying the text here. You look at John 1 and you see this tight little package of a lot of interconnection, and yet at the same time you see a text that is almost working like a table of contents. Like, you know, like when you get in a magazine at the first page and you're reading what's the feature articles? This is almost doing that.
Yeah.
That you start looking through, and then you'll even see arguments in the book of John. Remember when Jesus, where we see here, it talks about that nothing was made that wasn't made by him. Everything that came into being by him. And then in John chapter 5, you see Jesus actually having a discussion where he says in the Sabbath, my Father's working up until now and I'm working. And then you start hearing the proof from Jesus' own mouth of what this was saying here in the beginning. That I was in the beginning. My Father created the world, I create the world. My Father's holding all things up, I'm holding all things together. And in fact, then Jesus even progresses this even further when he starts telling the Jews, you know, my Father doesn't judge. He's given all right to the Son to judge. What? Something God doesn't do? What? That's an offensive argument to the Jews. All right, so let's get back to the text. But I'm just saying, like, while we're studying this stuff, a good practice is to fall in love with what it says. It's just like, oh man, just get blown away with it, because if you get excited by it, I'm sure you'll tell other people that it's awesome.
It's like a pre-synopsis. You have a pre-synopsis and then it goes into the narration.
Yeah, so it's almost working like an introduction. So, with all that being said, what is this text? We know poetry has repetition. It has colorful imagery. Is this poetry?
Yes.
Is it? Is it talking in all about history? But it's talking about history too, right?
Yeah.
And yet it functions as the beginning of a story, you said, as a synopsis. Then that's a different type of writing. Is it a letter? Did John expect people to read this?
Yeah. I would say it starts out as a parable, because it's hard to understand. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, okay? And the Word was God. How do you, man can't grasp that.
That's a tough one, right?
Then it says, the same was in the beginning with the God.
That's poetic.
The same was in the beginning with God. What's that?
That's a poetic language. Now,
information too.
Is there any examples now of high speaking, poetic speaking, poetic speeches, poetic... it's not a poem, but it sounds poetic. Here's an example. I'll just throw it out, like the Declaration of Independence, right? Or the beginning of the Constitution, speeches by presidents. They get really highfalutin with but not even today, but if you go back to like George Washington's days and things like that, like real high language. Here's another example, Genesis 1. It has high language and repetition, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, it keeps repeating this thing. The same was in the beginning. So, but it has this high language. But is Genesis 1 history or is it poetry? So we're having the same problem with John 1, right? Now, so we'll cut into the lesson then for now. And we'll stop because you guys could keep going with this. And that's just an example of struggling with the text. Here's the nice thing with this is that we can now stop with that and we don't have to come to a conclusion. That was the trick, right? Because there was a lot in this text that was pulled you in different ways. It pulled you in different ways because there was history. You saw that John was saying stuff in time. You saw that there was stuff that John was talking about, John the Baptist, but then John, the writer, was talking about God creating. So he's giving you real history, and yet he's talking with high language and parabolic language, and he's using imagery, and he's using it in different ways. And we step at it, and we step back, and we see that it connects to the rest of the book of John. And at the end of the day, you go, I don't know what type of writing it is. I do know that it holds together real tight with the book of John, and I could keep struggling with this. See, this is, remember really back when I said that you could keep squeezing it and keeps going? This is one of those things that on Thanksgiving, maybe while you're sitting there at the table after you finish your bird, you could go, all right, I'm going to go think about John 1 again. You could keep squeezing this. You could keep squeezing this.
When do you stop squeezing?
Oh,
you struggle with the concept of word.
Yeah.
But what I read, I went to look at that a little bit. I went to Matthew Henry, which of course he was made it up to dig a hole and bury it, and he's still there.
Yeah.
They came up with a Chaldean word called Nimrod. It actually means the word is the word of Jehovah, or in the word is used for Messiah. So they were from when this was written to the Jews, they understood that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand.
Well, here we could even get even crazier,
yeah.
Right? Let's get crazier.
Yeah.
How many times in the Old Testament? Because you asked, when do you stop? How many times in the Old Testament it says, and the word of the Lord came unto the people saying, right? And the prophet said, declared the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, right? So John, if we get crazier, John could be also making backward connections. So you see throughout the Bible constantly that the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came. And then here, John says, you remember the word of the Lord that you will see throughout the whole Bible? The word of the Lord that was with God and was God? You remember that word? It became flesh. Yes. Like you get the chill, right? You get the chill because now it's like if you're a Jew reading this, the penny drops. At that verse. And this is why it's nice that John is building it up, building it up, building it up. Verse 14, the word became flesh. So that's pretty big. So then when you see the whole bit about the law, that you received grace, you received truth with the law. Paul says this, the law is holy. It is good. I am not. But the law is holy. So here's the law. This was a good thing that God decided to speak into time and says, this is what my will with your life. But now Jesus Christ came, and he tells you face to face. That's pretty big.